forgiveness. Anyway, I give you a hint. You have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. I give you a chance to look. Proverbs 27 and verse 8. It's a very simple text of Scripture. I don't often preach in this manner in taking a proverb or taking a text and then building a thematic message from it, but this morning I'm going to do just that. I had this text come to me in passing, going through the Scripture some many weeks ago, and thought maybe Father's Day didn't happen, etc., and finally the Lord released it to me and said, you can go ahead and preach this text of Scripture. So, here we go. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 8 says this very simply, like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is the man who wanders from his place. It's so short, I'm going to read it again. 27 verse 8. As the bird that wanders from its nest, so is the man who wanders from his place. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for the place that you have established this in. Father God, we thank you for the cross that you have given to us, O God. And Lord, I know that your grace abounds to us today. And I pray for grace in this message that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified and the preacher be hid behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, in the difficult things that the Scripture reveals and the Spirit says yes to say, Lord, give us understanding in what the Spirit wants. And Lord, touch our lives and hearts, O God, that we may know thy will and walk in it, that we may be victorious over all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone with me?
Amen.
Amen. You hear it often enough. A child wanders away from his parents. Wanders in the bush. Wanders in the mall. The parent looks the other way. Brother Daniel's being used to this. And all of a sudden there is an instantaneous panic when you can't see your child. When it's without of your eyesight. And you wonder, and you worry, perhaps the worst kind of things run through your mind. There is that ensuing panic. But that's innocent wandering. But then, what about the wandering that's not so innocent? The intentional drifting away from one's place, from one's responsibility. Sometimes, and in some circles, that's not called really wandering, it's called desertion. And it can have serious effects. It can have serious consequences. I checked with Major Retired Andy this morning to see. I said, you know, is it still a death penalty consequence to the Canadian Armed Forces for someone in the midst of battle? Is there still that on the books? He thinks maybe the rate is possible, 100% sure. Serious consequences. For wandering away from your post in the midst of battle, serious consequences for desertion. Wandering from your place, according to Proverbs 27, is a bird brain thing to do. As the bird wanders from its nest, most likely leaving its little chicks, most likely leaving its eggs exposed, as the bird that wanders from its nest, so is the man who walks away from his place. Americans are divided. They're divided about what to do with the release of a particular prisoner of war, Sergeant Bowie. This man has languished in a Taliban hole as a prisoner of war for 5 years. 5 years he's been in darkness for most of the time, received the insults of his torturers, and yet America is not sure what to do with this individual. Even his hometown in Idaho is not sure, or was not sure, he's back now, but wasn't sure whether to throw him a celebration for coming home. They went ahead with a celebration, and they received hate mail from veterans associations all across America. What is it about this man who went to serve his country, spent 5 years in a prisoner of war situation, was released in a prisoner exchange, and yet is still controversial? Well, it's why he got captured. You see, one night in June in 2009, according to his fellow soldiers, Boeing wandered away from his post, thus leaving his men, leaving his post, leaving his command, and wandered off into the night. We haven't yet ascertained why it was that he wandered away, but they claim it was desertion. You know, if you're ordered to go off into the night and you get captured, you're a hero. But if you go on your own accord and you wander away from your post, all of a sudden it's not heroic anymore. Now it's desertion. And he may face a court-martial. It's quite a difference, friends. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is the danger of wandering away from our calling. We need to be faithful to our calling. It's a bird-brain thing to do, to wander away from what God has called us to do. My old Irish pastor used to say this. I had many Bible Irish pastors growing up, but one in particular, Sam Draven, always said this: if God has called you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. But if God has called you to be a king, don't stoop to be a preacher. Because whatever God has called you to do, if the post is the place that God has appointed you to be. You all remember the story of David the king. And his indiscretion, we'll call it. His adulterous affair. Most of us remember that because it's one of the parts of the Bible, right? It's good for movies. It's good for, you know, when they make movies and whatnot, it's one of those places, you know, a very interesting story that even Hollywood doesn't mind taking a look at and maybe stretching it out a little bit. But really, it's quite true. David was the king. David was up on his roof, and his roof was higher than all the other roofs because he was living in the palace, and he saw a beautiful young woman who was bathing herself out there at night, and he lusted after her, and because of his lust, he ended up bringing her into his house, he ended up murdering her husband. You may well know the story. I'm not preaching on that text today, but you know the story about it all. She was in her house. It was the custom of the day. If she was bathing on her rooftop, it was not an act of indiscretion. She was in her place. She was in her home. Her husband was in his place. He was up on the battlefield. He was up where he was supposed to be. It was David who was not in his place, and it was a bird-brain thing to do. See, some people think that story is a story about love. Oh, and then the king. But what initially was, the story is about a king who wandered from his position of authority. You see, that king, David, should have been at the front with his troops. He should have been leading them in the battle. He should have been there in his particular tent with his commanders, organizing things. But where was he? He was on top of his roof, enjoying the scenery. The story is not about a wandering eye, but a wandering from one's place. Because he was not in the place he was supposed to be, That's what opened him up to temptation. That's what allowed him to see Bathsheba. That's what started the process and ended up murdering her husband. And then, and that child, of course, from that relationship died. When leaders wander from their post, when leaders wander from their place, when leaders wander from their calling, people die. They're not doing what they're called to do, and they're not standing where they're called to stand. Things happen. It's a bird-brain thing to do, to wander away from where God has called you to be. Can I get an amen? I've got so many illustrations that I don't have time this morning to give you. Unfortunately, I have some amazing illustrations. Pastors and leaders who have fallen away, either in sin or just fallen away from what God called them to do. They've wandered away from their post. They've wandered away from their calling. They've wandered away from what God has called them to do. They're not where they're supposed to be. And because they're not where they're supposed to be, other people are dying. It's an act of desertion. Others, God has called not just pastors, I don't want to get into it, but a lot of pastors, as far as I'm concerned, half the time they're not where they're supposed to be. They're not at their post. They're not ready to serve. And I'm preaching to myself here. They've got to be ready to serve. They're wandering to every conference and everything. I don't think that half of them are, and I would say this, I have to be careful, but, you know, is every conference that we go to, is it what God wants us to go to? Or do we just like all this stuff? Well, some bigger churches have bigger funds. Send their pastors to more stuff. So they go to more stuff. And sometimes it's absolutely the Spirit of God led to go to these places. Sometimes it's just to get away. If you go someplace that God has called you, you're at your post. If you go someplace because you just feel like going and you haven't brought it to the Lord in prayer, you've wandered. When you wander, stuff happens. Others are not at their post who are called to be missionaries. Some are called to be evangelists. Some are called into various areas of ministry. But they're not there. They're not serving. And they're not involved. Why? Because they've wandered away from their post. Israel wandered in the desert. Some would say, look at that. It's okay to wander. That wasn't the will of God. It was their own choice. God taught them, God used it, God blessed them in it, but yet it was a result of their own choice. And the result, of course, was death of many, many people. They were called to the promised land. And they got there, but not everybody. If God has called you into a certain place, if God has given you a certain gift, if God has given you a certain calling, if God has called you to a certain place, then don't wander from your place. Something is well deserved. I say it's desertion. When God told me to leave home and go to Toronto and start the church, I had no money, no job, nothing. What happened? Money came. Job came. Food came. Wife didn't stop. Hallelujah. That's you who were hired. Then when God told me to leave Toronto and go to the Maritimes, no money. Nothing. And no idea what we're getting into. God's fine. When I came to leave New Brunswick to come here, and every time I was confident that I was doing what God called me, God told me, I'm going to confess something here this morning, God told me when exactly to leave New Brunswick to come to Harmony Church, told me to leave in January of 2006. I arrived here in October 2005. 2000. Yeah, back then. Yeah. I was here another century. So in 1995, I came here because I had no money. no job, nothing. And I came just a few months ahead of where God told me to come. Everything worked out. Still here. I have no doubt that God told me to come here. I have no doubt about it. But I was supposed to come in January, but I had a wife. I still have the same wife. I had three children. I had little babies. I had my this child at that time. You know, here he is here, 20 years old. And fear and worry says, I got to go. I got to go for the sure. There was a gal in New Brunswick that I was ministering to that in that time period, later on, took her own life. Put a shotgun in her mouth, blew her head off. And the Lord reminded me that had I left in January instead of our hope, that gal would have been gone. Now, I don't bear any false guilt, and I do not believe that God is condemning me, and I'm walking in His grace. But I believe that because I had to come, because I was worried about money, I was worried about a place to stay, I was worried about this and that, because God told me in January, it came in January, and it came in October, when people died. She made her own choice, that girl made her own choice between her and God. I'm not walking in any kind of foolish combination. I believe the Lord revealed that to me simply because He wanted to remind me that I want you to trust me. I speak not as one that is coming in any condemnations of other creatures. I'm speaking as one who has made mistakes, who has walked in fear, who has walked in sometimes saying, oh, where is it going to come from? And God says then, but I need you now. I need answers now. Sometimes preachers, I understand the pressure that makes some preachers, some evangelists, some missionaries, some people, whatever their calling may be, wander away from their calling, make premature steps away from what God's called them to do. Even if He brings them back into alignment with His will, there is still that is paid. Friends, I want to emphasize this morning the importance of not wandering from your mind. You may never go until the Lord, until the baby seat of Christ, who it is that is lost, who it is that is separated from God because you wandered from your hope, even if you got back to it eventually. Friends, it is a serious thing to wander from our hope. It's a serious thing to wander from our covenant. How many people here have I baptized? Just the ones that I've baptized. Put your hand up if you feel shame. All right? Quite a few. Hopefully this doesn't matter. Anyway, I baptized quite a few people in this church. There's a few people here that aren't here, obviously. I don't know how many people have baptized in this church. But when I baptize people, there is a thing called a covenant. A covenant of baptism. And I did a few of you young people even this past few weeks ago. And when I baptize people, I tell them, you're going to have to give your word. And I give them in advance, and anyone of you that I've baptized, I've given you in advance the vows that you're going to say, I will. Friends, there was a time in this country that you could make $1,000, $2,000 deal. I watched my father on many occasions in Catalina. That was it. I don't think you could get away with that today. Thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands of dollars. You would do it in cash. Big one right there.
I was in.
Your word was your word.
And not a church caller man either. But I tell you what, if he said he was going to pay so much for the cattle or so much for the machinery or whatever it was he came around buying, that's how much it was. That's the way.
I'm afraid, friends, that we don't take very seriously our word anymore. We live in a society that says, maybe it's some political influence, maybe whatever it is, influence today, that your word doesn't have to mean shit.
But friends, I believe that God holds us to our vows.
Here's this example that I say this: have you earnestly repented of your sins and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior?
I have. So here's where it gets a little tricky.
Do you turn away from all sin and will you endeavor by God's grace to live according to the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ? I will! Will you be loyal to His church, upholding her with your prayers and your presence? That means getting your little butt out of bed. And your substance, that means putting something on the offering plate.
And I won't get into that, it's too much.
And your service, that means I'm ready
to get the cup of apple, cup of water, when the preacher comes home.
I will.
You already said that, remember? You know what, there used to be this term you may not be familiar with. It's an old term.
It used to be this term people used to say that when you didn't keep your word, they used to call it something, and I know you don't know this term, it's an old-fashioned term. You are a liar. Everyone ever heard about that?
If you said, you shook someone's hand and said, I'll be back there with the money for those cattle, or whatever it was, and you didn't show up, you were a liar.
One of them likes to be called a liar, and it's fighting with us.
My father lied to me once. I remember I did something. He had told me one time, he said, I'll only ever whip you for one reason. I said, you ever lied? I did something else, he whipped me. I said, you said, you would only whip me by lying, son. He said, I lied.
But anyway, lying is a weapon-worthy thing. How many have been baptized? How many have went through the vows? And you know what? I want to get a hold of some of these people some days who have been baptized and have wandered away and get a hold of them and shake them a little bit and say, listen, you said you would be here. You said you would do this. And it wasn't that you were making a deal with me, but you were making a deal with the Almighty God. You made a vow. You said you would do something. Guess what? You're a liar.
Well, then it's fighting turns. He gets worse for him. Many have wandered from their place. It's a bird brain thing to do. And there are a lot of bird brain men. And I don't want to pick on the men today, but I'm going to. I'm going to start with their ladies. You can take it on yourself because the same thing goes both ways. But especially says a man who wanders from his place. You know that God has given a place. Do you know there is a difference between men and women? Does anybody know that? Because everything is unisex today. Everything is, even the marriage, certain things you get. I got a few old ones I'm hanging on to that actually say husband and wife on them. I want to send them in later and see if they actually work. But, you know, it says applicant and then co-applicant. Just the wife that says, or husband and wife that says, applicant and co-applicant, you know? And so I'm going to send one of those in that says husband and wife in there, or bride and groom actually says on them, you know, see if they actually pass that. But anyway, you know, we live in this understanding that is prepped into the church. There is a difference between male and female, friends. In Christ, there is, and hallelujah! When you come to Jesus Christ, as far as salvation, as far as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as far as all those things, but there is still male and female, there are still women and men, and I would say this, there's a lot of bird-brained men who have wandered from their place.
I just want to bring up your attention, gentlemen, to some of the things that I say oftentimes to people. Will you put your name in here, have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together after God's holy ordinance, usually I say, in the holiest state of matrimony. Will you love her, comfort her, keep her, and honor her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others?
I will.
You don't do that, you know what you are? You're a liar. I know it's over my
speaker. I know it's possible. But if you say you're going to do something, if you go off in your neighbor's wife, or get a girl at the bar, or go off and find another girl at work, or whatever it may be, and you do a little something there, guess what? You're not only an adulterer, you're a liar. Then when you stand in church again, come up here and you make a vow. Gentlemen, ladies, you know the same. I could have put in their name or phone, but you have to stand, you know, it goes both ways, all right, come. But listen up. You know what? Here's what this says. When you bring your babies up here to the vow, and the preacher takes hold of your babies, amen. And then you then say these things. It says, having God's purpose in your heart. This is just one of many. Do you solemnly covenant through the grace given you in partnership with the congregation to teach your children the truths and duties of the Christian faith and by prayer and precept and example using the many agencies of the church? Or do this, I'm running out of time. Will you do it? And you know what they all say when they get up here? I don't think I will. No, Reverend, I don't think, no, Pastor, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm just going to come here to church because my wife wanted me to do this, or, you know, we're going to have a little lunch after, and, you know, we're going to do it because it's right and whatnot. But I really, after a few weeks, I have no intention of coming back to church. No, they say I will. Oh, friends. Uh-oh. There it goes.
Gone.
That's okay. Friends, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of Jesus that is given to you in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard among many witnesses, commit those to faithful men who will teach others also. Men telling men to stay in their place. I am this morning telling men to quit being liars and stay in your place. Wherever my sound goes on the internet, stay in your place. You're a bird brain if you wander away from the things that you committed yourself doing. The last point. Not only as a father, but as a fellowship. You're blessed because you can't bring it up. You know, God always blesses those who take seriously their role in the local church. If you are content in being a pew warmer and being entertained after years and years and years of being there, well, that may be. I can't put up on the screen, which is okay. I wasn't going to have time anyways to put up the points of the membership. In this church, like most other churches, we have what's called a covenant of membership. It says, I will do this, I will do that, I promise to do this. And I extend that covenant, friends, not only to those that sign up in membership and get voted in, but anyone that frequents the place. It says things like, I will badmouth and put down people in the church. It says things that I will be gracious, I will be forgiving, I will not be easily offended. It says a whole bunch of things that I think we ought to go back and look at again, the things that we said yes to, the things that we said our amen to. Friends, many have wandered from their post over the years, and their families have suffered for it, but really the whole body suffers when people wander away from their post wander away from their place. You want to get something out of church? Put something in it. Not just what the job description requires, but what the spirit requires. See, there was a whole thing that Jesus had to deal with in the law. He told the Pharisees, "You have heard it. There is a way of living. There is an honest way of living. There is a way of saying my word is my word. And when I give my word, I'm committed to my word. And it's not just your word. It's your way of living that you live honestly, that you live godly. And that when you say yes to something and you commit yourself before God Almighty, that you are going to keep your word. It's the way you're brought up. It's the way you bring up your family, I hope. And it's more than just a letter. And you know, God will bless you for being committed to your presence. This week I had a chance. Jim Stanley, he's an old codger, I tell you what, he is quite good. 84 years old now, and he was a missionary to Africa. He actually showed up on the shores of Africa because God told him to bring him and his six boys, one in arm, actually one was born in the jungle. He went 1,000 kilometers into the bush with no authority from any mission organization, showed up, put his family under a tree, and said, "Here we are, Lord, we're going to start a church." There's no word of the language. But because God did tell him to go there, even though no missionary organization, his kids were raised in the bush. And I know several of his boys, and they are something. I was asked, I said, "Jim, where's your boys now?" I know where two of them are, but there's several others, and I don't know where they are. And he started telling me he told one particular story, how God has blessed his boys. Why? Because their word is their word. Because they were raised a certain way, and because it stuck with them. One of the particular lads, Dave, where's Dave these days? He said, I'll tell you a little story, he said, and he told me that he's Dave lives around Allison, down in that part of the country in Ontario, western Ontario. None of the boys were all homeschooled, never went to high school, never went to college, never went to anywhere, and they're all leaders in companies, all the boys. They're leaders, and one of them runs this shoe company called Timberland. Another one is involved in a huge construction company. Another one is involved. They're all successful in this world's eyes, but they don't care about money. They didn't need a college education. I'm not saying anything against college education. Kids that are out there, get your college education, get your university, get whatever you can. But I tell you what, those boys, they were hired and they succeeded up the ladder because of their character. One of the boys, Dave, walked into the office and what is it there? Honda? It was some Japanese outfit. But anyways, he walked into Honda one day. He didn't have high school, didn't have whatever else, was homeschooled in the jungles of Africa. And anyways, they said they'd give him a try. That's back a few years when they were hired. His first day at work, he's wandering into the plant for his shift at Honda in Allen. He sees a Coke can in the parking lot, reaches down, picks up the Coke can, puts it in a trash can that wasn't very far away. There's a whole crowd going with him, and another crowd from the other ship is coming out. Brother Alfred will have a relate to this story. He sees another can, reaches down, picks up that can, just right handy, and picks it up, and puts it in the trash can. He gets on the first shift of his work training, and all of a sudden, someone comes down from upstairs, where that is, you know. And the guy says, "You're wanted in the office." He's only been there a few minutes. He comes up there, and this is not too long after the time to start. So it's a few years back. He comes in there, and there's an interpreter and a street Japanese little fellow's there.
pointing on.
And anyways, he says that the managers want to know, why did you pick up those two Coke cans in the parking lot?
Why did you do that? He says, that's the way I was brought up. The interpreter starts telling them, the Japanese fellows, so they're there to get things going. They want things done a certain way. They want it done right.
And then they came back to me and says, 700 employees, they traveled. They have little cameras. They're up there watching 700 employees walk past those two cans, walk past those two garbage cans, and never stooped over to pick it up because their shift was done, they were done being paid, and they're off the clock. The other groups that were coming in, they weren't on the clock yet, they weren't being paid, and they wouldn't bother to stoop over and take off a can and put it in the garbage can. And so that's why he said, you're the only one in over 700 employees that stopped to pick up a can. And you're telling us it was because you were raised a certain way. Yes, sir. I was raised a certain way. To do not just what I was asked to do, do more than that. He said, how would you like being manager? In charge of quality control. He says, we'll have to send you to Japan and you'll have to stay there for 6 months and you'll have to watch how we do things in Japan and you will then come back and you will be in charge. You will be the manager, you'll be in whatever they call them there, you'll be in charge of quality control at the Allison's. So they did. He said, sure. Whatever the Lord said, he said, yeah. They sent him over to Jeff Pan. He said, there, he said, you couldn't find dust in their plant. You can't find, because they're raised a certain way, those Japanese. They worship their jobs. I mean, it's not right. But their honor is tied up in their work. If anything would be out of place, if there was anything that spilled or in it, they would say, that's not my job, I'm on this machine here. No, they get it done. The place is immaculate. And he said, according to his son, he says, we can never beat those guys. He says, they are crazy and clean. But you see, I say this all just to tell you that, you know, it's a certain way of being raised. It's an honesty, you know, and we need that in our society today. Friends, I want you to turn to James chapter 5 and go James chapter 5. See, I'm concerned so much. This message is a message of concern for the church. It's a message of concern for the body of Christ. I'm concerned so much about the wandering that's going on in the body of Christ. James chapter 5 verse 19 gives us this story. It says this, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. I want to tell you this is a bird brain thing to do, to wander from the truth. I want you to get there. I do want you to see it in front of you. I don't have a PowerPoint, but obviously I ran this night. But verse 19, brethren, if anyone, James 5, 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know, the Revised Standard says this, let him know that he who turns a wanderer, King James, he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, he who turns one who wanders away, that will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here's what Brother Eugene Peterson says. I don't have to quote him, but I tell you what, it's interesting. He says this. He says, he who turns a wanderer back will prevent a epidemic of wandering. I want to stop an epidemic of wandering because that's exactly what's going on. Revelation 21, this is my last
And then I'm going to call security. Did you find that in here? Oh, come on.
What happened to Howard?
All right.
Howard,
what's that? Come now, bound with every rest. You better come now, because that'll help us to start talking. Come now, bound with every rest. Revelation chapter 21, this is a heavy, it's heavy. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says this. The last part of it says this. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second thing. All liars, I'm not going to read it. All right. No, I'm just wrong. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns. I always thought this was a little bit much. I know that's what the hell part of it. I always thought this didn't sound very fair. I always thought, it gives another list. It gives a list of things, individual things that people have done. You can say, oh, yeah, I understand that. And I understand that. And drunkenness. And, oh, yeah, I can understand that. Terrible things. And then it ends with this. All liars will have their part of the lake of fire. And as I looked at this text of Scripture, as I pondered this text of Scripture, the Lord spoke into my heart and says, those liars are covenant breakers. They have made a covenant with me. They have covenanted over and over again. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. But where are they? They're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. In James chapter 5, remember it says, if you save a wanderer from the truth, if you save someone, if you will love them enough, if you will go and rescue someone that has wandered away from their post, you will save a soul from death. And then I come to Revelation 21, and it says, liars will have their car in the same fire.
Friends, this is a serious message.
Covenant breaking. Covenant tossing aside. If you will go to Old Testament Israel, if you will take a look, if you will examine Old Testament Israel, if you will take a look at what happened in Old Testament Israel, you will find that when they broke covenant, there was death in the land. I believe that there has been death. Spiritual death. I believe the churches have died. I believe their entire denominations. I don't like picking on denominations in particular, but there is one large denomination which is dying and will be dead in 20 years or less. That in 1925, and you will go on their website, and you will still find the doctrinal statement of 1925, and it says, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe. You know what? Don't believe it. They don't believe it. God's going to let them die. Because they're liars. I was at a ministerial some years ago, and we were trying to figure out what can we use as the base of our unit. And it got whittled down pretty small. I was gone a little bit, not too long after that. We finally got it down to the Apostles' Creed. Maybe you've heard of the Apostles' Creed. Just very simple. All Catholics, all Anglicans, all United, all Baptists. Everyone says they agree with the Apostles' Creed. And so we say, well, if we break down to that, that's the bottom, that's the basic, because all the other denominations, then I said, well, that's okay. I says, do you believe it? Went around the circle and several of the ministers there who were part of it said, well, I don't believe. But you swore an oath, you were ordained, you had oil poured on your head, and you said that you agreed with the Apostles' Creed.
But I don't believe it. I repeat it every, some of them repeat it every Sunday. Some of them as part of the liturgy. Some of them go over and over all the time, but they don't agree with it. You know what that's called? It's a covenant breaking. They're liars. And I worry about their eternal damnation. I hope this is a heavy message, friends. That's why the Lord wouldn't let me preach other books for here today. Are you calling the water need to get to that number two? Turn to number two. I'm never going to close a church. I can start from the title and I'm closing. Father, I just pray for everyone that's here and the sound of my voice today. And God Almighty, you would help us not to wander from our calling. Lord, if there are those that are here that have wandered away to God's foot and smote their heart, and they have experienced the burning bush of Moses, maybe in some other way, but now they've wandered from the calling of God. Lord, bring them back to that witness. Lord, if there are those under the sound of my voice that have wandered from their covenant as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, draw them back, Lord. Let them keep their word. Don't call them a liar, O God, in the end. Lord, for those men who have wandered from their covenant of marriage and their covenant of child education and have wandered from their covenant as being a man of God in the church, in business and in society, Lord, where their word is no longer yea and amen, Lord, bring them back. Don't make liars of them. Lord, if we as an assembly have wandered away from the truth that we have confessed to believe, if we've wandered away from our love for one another, if we have wandered away from our hope, if we're absent without leave, if we're AWOL, when you call us to help someone, then God forgive us. Help us not to make a liar of our sins. We confess today, Lord, that we are all prone to wander. In Jesus' name.
Come out of every blessing, in my heart to sing thy praise. Spring of mercy, ever teaching, all the songs of blessing praise.
Thank you.
love, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on those who are damning. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. As in him was able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.